Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Spirituality. Thank you to Ed, Barb, and Dawn for being part of this week's video. We celebrated together Dawn and Barb's 30-year anniversary of their service with the Beamsville Church of Christ. Happy birthday this week to Kathleen.
Good morning. The reading today is from Romans 8, 9 to 11. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is such a delight to have you with us today. Thank you so much for being with us. I just have a brief sermon today, hour and a half, something like that, so no problem. I'm one of those preachers where 15 to 20 minutes is way beyond much, so that's enough. Yeah. Anyway, today I just want to spend some time talking about a really broad subject, and that is spirituality. I mean, what is spirituality? And I just listed a couple of things. Spirituality includes communion, prayer, scripture, holiness, love, baptism, scripture and reading it, and most of all, being so grateful that God is always with us. He has promises of never leaving us and never forsaking us. So let's just start today with communion, something that in the Church of Christ we do on a weekly basis. And I go back to Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 30. And these are familiar words. On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want to make us prepare for to eat the Passover?" Now, the Passover was a major Jewish holiday commemorating the Israelites for their liberation of slavery in Egypt. And today, as we've had our communion, it represents Jesus' broken body and his shed blood. And in many ways, it is the ingesting of the body and blood of Jesus. We carry this with us every moment of every day, even as we sleep. So this Passover, this major Jewish holiday commemorating the Israelites' liberation from slavery in Egypt was profound. So in Matthew chapter 26, and then verses 26 through 28, again, these are familiar words. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Now, I'm not so sure about you, but we've repeated this over and over for many, many years. But what I really wanted to do with this is to actually try to put ourselves in their shoes. This is the beginning of what has progressed all the way through today. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them. "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So as we take communion, our sins are being washed away. And then Jesus says, "I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Won't that be wonderful? John 6:53-58. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of God, the wafer, and drink his blood, the juice, you have no life in you. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Very, very strong words. 2,000 years ago, and it's still prevalent today. And so it says, so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Jesus broke the bread, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant of my blood poured out for all of us. And then in Scripture, many, many, many times in Scripture, there's prayer. I was challenging myself this past week. How many prayers are said in the Scriptures, Old and New Testament alike? Oftentimes it would be a prophet talking to God or one of the apostles teaching, sharing, preaching, asking God. And that's what we do today. Prayer is prevalent. So some of us, maybe who are older, when we would go to school a long time ago, we would sing, you know, wonderful words and recite the Lord's Prayer. So I have a challenge. I wonder if you would recite the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So those words were written thousands of years ago, and they're still so important today. The Lord's Prayer is an amazing prayer. And let's hope that continues for all of us. And then Jesus was very visible in prayer. Matthew 21, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables, money changers, and the benches of those selling doves. He said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. It's not what God ever wanted to have happen. Prayer is so, so important. For many of us, we grew up in such a way where the last thing we did before we went to bed was to say our prayer. And we would, whatever prayer it would be, we would have those prayers. And I remember my mother several times saying, Donnie, I don't think you prayed last night. I said, oh yeah, I did. He said, well, you wouldn't be so nasty today if you had prayer. So prayer aren't just, they're not just words. These are things that are helping us. Anyway, Jesus entered the temple, drove out who were selling it and so forth. He said, it's to be called a house of prayer, and you're making it a den of robbers. Prayer is mentioned in the Bible, and I didn't realize this. Prayer is mentioned in the Bible some 650 times. Prayer. If from the simple prayers to long conversations with God, sitting in a comfortable chair and talking to God, he promises to hear us. And I'm sure you will agree with me. Children's prayers are so precious. It just comes from their heart. It's just precious. Sometimes they say things that we would never even think, but they're so precious because they believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They're not sure about everything else. And let's face it, some of us who are getting close to 70 years of age, we sometimes forget, you know, I don't think I've really spent time talking to God. We could be so busy, but it's important just to talk to him. 650 times, I think we should pray every once in a while. Sitting in a comfortable chair, not just falling asleep, but just talking to God. I love the prayers of children. And then the scripture of John chapter 2 and verse 22, Jesus was raised from the dead and his disciples recalled what Jesus had said, that they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Sometimes it was many years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that people said, oh yeah, that's right. And they prayed about it and they understood the scripture. Oh, that's what that means. The fulfillment of all of these things. Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? And I love the scripture that says, scripture cannot be broken. It won't. It can't. It never will be. The Apostle Paul set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and purity to the public reading of Scripture. And then 2 Peter, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, not just speaking by himself. For the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by God's Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit is acting in us. I think over the years, many of us would say things like, whew, that car almost hit me. Wasn't that lucky? Or something along those lines. Yeah, we could say it's lucky, but we could also say, thank you, Jesus. Wow, that's incredible. Psalm 77 says, in your ways, O God, you are holy. You display your power among the peoples with your mighty arm. You redeemed your people. And as a church, for all of us, that's who we are. We want to redeem. We want to renew. We want to restore. We want people to know who Jesus is. In 1 Thessalonians, you are witnesses, and so is God. How holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. That's us, children of God, encouraging, comforting, and urging one another to live lives worthy of God, who sees us and knows us, is on our side every moment of the day. And then, when you talk about love, well, we could be here for a long, long time. As the Beatles sang, love, 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 all you need is, yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your love. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think 1 Corinthians 13 would probably want to be the most well-known scripture. If I speak in languages of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Not very nice. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, and have not love, I gain nothing. Because here's why. Because love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It isn't proud. Love isn't rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And then he says this, it always protects. Love always trusts. It always hopes. Love always perseveres. And then something that we really haven't talked about for a while, and so important. And I remember as a child growing up that if we missed this step, it would be like, oh, that was a pretty good sermon, but you missed the most important part. And that's to talk about baptism. In Matthew 28:16-20, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You can't get any higher than that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And then these words, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. What a wonderful promise Jesus has given us. And then there's something that maybe we don't do very often, and that is just scripture reading. And it's interesting that back in the Old Testament, it was very, very important to be reading those scriptures like it is today. In Deuteronomy chapter 17 and 19, it says this, the scripture is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the words of the law of God. Follow carefully all the words of the Lord. Then his descendants will reign a long time over the kingdom of Israel. When I was a little boy, our family vacation was always to go up north and visit with Grandma. And one of the things that Grandma did every day was pray at breakfast, pray at lunch, pray in the evening, and before going to bed, prayer. And I said to Grandma, Grandma, it's great that you pray, but why do you pray so often? And her response was, God is always with us. And if God wants to talk to us, why can't we talk back to him? And that was the reality. She believed it with all of her heart. God is with us every moment of the day. So maybe that'll help us with words that maybe we shouldn't say or things that we hadn't do. It's just simple things, but they're profound things. And then lastly, Revelation, John writes things that are challenging, but he reminds us of this. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, he who has an ear, let him hear. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Listen now. Who was and is to come, and who lives forever and ever. Now the dwelling of God is with us, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain or arthritis. Ugh. For all that will pass away. And he who was seated on the throne promises these words to each one of us. I am making everything new for you. These words are trustworthy and true. And when God makes a promise, God fulfills those promises. So let me conclude. Jesus, Isaiah, John remind us that there is life after death, and there's life after death, a new heaven, a new earth, where all things will be renewed and restored, a new creation waiting for us. Heaven is wonderful, but it isn't the end of the world. All things being made new. Restoration, recreation. The joining together of heaven and earth. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.